Hello and welcome to the Guelph Politicast. I'm Adam A. Donaldson of Guelph Politico. If this is your first time streaming or downloading the program, Guelph Politicast is an interview show where I talk to politicians, activists, and people not making a difference or just making life in the Royal City more interesting. And for previous episodes of the Guelph Politicast, you can find them on the Guelph Politicast channel on Podbean or subscribe through iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Now today we're going to do things a little bit differently. We're going to do a little bit of punditry on the Guelph Politicast, and we usually save that for open sources, but since, you know, we're so busy on open sources the next couple of weeks with all the candidate interviews, eight of them, we're just going to pundit out for...
Full house.
Full house. It is a full house, actually. Almost. I should say almost a full house. And you can...
Full slate.
You can follow... You can follow me on the Facebook and Twitter to see who is missing in action. But
indeed,
there's one.
Scotty Hertz is here.
Yes, yeah, I was going to introduce Scotty Hertz.
I don't think I've ever been on the Politicast proper. Maybe no. in passing, but
no.
Very glad to be here, Adam.
Good. Yeah, it's not entirely different from. Yeah, no, we're doing double duty this week. So, we wanted to talk about the debate that happened last Thursday, the All Canada's debate hosted by the Guelph Wellington Coalition for Social Justice, and they had a full slate too. They had 7 out of 8 there. Only Mike Riel couldn't be there, but. You know, I'll just introduce where I'm coming from on this is, you know, I'm on the social medias. I guess media is already plural, so you don't have to add the
all S. The medias.
Yeah, all the medias. But a lot of people were, you know, crediting Mike Schreiner as the winner and sort of, I guess, touting him as the winner. And I guess for me, it's, you know, we got to keep things in context, which is that Mike Schreiner's... professional full-time politician, so he should have mastery of the issues, and that shouldn't have surprised anyone. So yeah, Mike did a very good job at the debate, and probably if we were handing out points, he would have won. But you know, I feel like, just to start with, in the broader context, we have to appreciate that Mike Schreiner's in a different class. He's used to actually debating the leaders when they let him debate the leaders.
And, as a leader,
right? Yeah, yeah. And so it's, you know, I think when he delivers a good performance, it's not really as noteworthy as when the others playing against people who are most of whom first time politicians.
So you're grading him on a curve a little bit,
right?
There. Yeah, which is fair. I mean, he was definitely on his game and probably let's call him the most captivating. Mm-hmm. In terms of getting the attention of the crowd, which was the Guelph Coalition for Social Justice put the debate on, as they do, they have for years, right? I can't recall at least the scope of being involved with this. I should add, I just went as a citizen. I live in the neighborhood of the Italian Canadian Club. There was more than enough media there to take care of business. So I was sitting at the back.
Oh, there was a ton of media there. Yeah.
They had to open the partition. There was so many people there. And, yeah. And that was encouraging in a way that there's enough attention being paid to this. That they were able to fill, like, over capacity of the room so much so that they needed to open another one. I know a lot of the people listening were probably there.
Why do you think there was such a big turnout? Do you think it's because it's an open race?
That could be. I mean, things at the Italian Canadian Club that are put on by groups like this generally get a good turnout.
Yeah.
And I don't really know. I mean, I sort of know why that is. We could call it the Guelph factor. There's still a hardcore group of people that like to go out to these things and like the excitement of a race, I guess you'd say.
Mm-hmm.
So that's plus. I think there were definitely partisan groups there. I mean, you heard it too. There was little posses of cores of people sitting together who would applaud at certain times. There's a couple of exceptions to that. I think. Although I have to say, off the top, the brand spanking new none of the above candidate Paul Taylor, I think he was the people's favorite.
Yeah.
Even though Mike Schreiner, and I think Aggie Mulnes as well,
yeah,
did very well, considering she's, I wouldn't say a pure rookie, but very close to it.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of getting people's attention, actually making things humorous, and also making good points rather than, you know, there's quite a few times you'll see fringe people, and I don't necessarily mean Guelph. I'm talking about across the years. I'm thinking of our friend John Trammell, who does on occasion make a good point, but tends to be...
Where is he running this time?
Yeah, that's a good
question.
You
keep talking. I'm going to look that up.
Yeah, he not he, but the candidates, I'm thinking of Tremel in particular, I wouldn't say hijack it, but they're there, but they're not really there, right? Is their heart in the race? So fringe at times can be people who are just definitely, that's, you know, they're on the fringe. They'll you know, but he, not, it sounded like he just signed up. He was on, he seemed to be on message, and he made points that people liked, and he was funny as hell as well.
Yeah.
Managed to drop an S-bomb, which made, when I read it again in Guelph today, I'm like, yeah, he did say that. I wasn't sure he, now we won't say it on the podcast. I guess we can because it's on the internet, but.
Yeah, no, this is safe for swearing.
So what was it like? Oh shit, I have to go after Mike again. I can't remember the exact
words.
It was like,
yeah,
Mike goes, Mike Schreiner goes bang, and then he's like, oh, I don't know what to say. But again, he did well. I would say we're just going to run down all the candidates. I guess we could.
We could.
Or just the general atmosphere.
Yeah, I mean, to Paul Taylor, I liked him a lot. And you're right, like humor won, you know, won him a lot, but he did make some very important points. Like, you know, he talked about waiting with his daughter after she broke her arms, horseback riding in the hospital for like 7 hours. Like, I mean, falling off a horse has got to be scary enough. And
and it seemed to be when he personalized it.
Yeah.
Everyone else seemed to as well. Like they had an anecdote about, I was in the hospital too. It's like everybody's in the hospital.
Sure.
And obviously a hot button issue this election, as it is almost every election. Hallway medicine, I believe the phrase was used a few times. Hospitals definitely very high on the radar. But getting back to the candidates, I think the bona fide loser was Ray Ferraro.
You think so?
And I'm not just saying that because of where my politics lie. There was just something lacking there. It was like he felt, at least he expressed in the news there, that he was in the... Did he actually use the phrase belly of the beast? I don't know. But he felt like he was in enemy territory or something.
I do think he used the term belly of the beast.
Because if you don't go, they say you didn't go. And then if you go, you got to sit through the stuff. And he just, to me, honestly, he didn't seem prepared.
Look, to his credit, he came, which is more than you can say for most conservative candidates coming to the social justice debate. Gloria Kovac didn't do it. Anthony MacDonald didn't do it. I think you probably have to go back to Greg Shirk.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, and they, you know, you have to know you are heading into enemy territory, especially when you have a provocative figure like Doug Ford as the leader, who's, you know, and not helping Ray was like using Fordian buzz terms like $6 million man. Like, we're going to get rid of the $6 million man. It's like, yeah,
that's
good
what
one.
It was. It seemed like he was pulling good it one, out Ray. Of the air. Like, not, he was just saying stuff. Whereas I would say most of the candidates were fairly prepared. Some were very prepared. Some were somewhat prepared. And I would say that about maybe Thomas Mooney to some degree, who I thought performed really well.
No, he did good. I thought he did good.
Also being a new candidate as well and trying to... He was trying to find that balance between the Alliance Party's policies and kind of what was coming from his own heart. I don't think he went for the jugular enough on Ferraro because that's essentially... Why he's there was that
they're the right flank, yeah.
The right flank and dissatisfied with the PCs.
That's an interesting point.
And I don't know if he went at that enough. He sort of got a couple of jabs in. See, this was to me. This wasn't. It's never really a debate. It's like the questions are posed and they say them, but there was a little bit of back and forth between some of the candidates in terms of trying to. Put attack in air quotes because there was no jugular stuff. Maybe that's to come. But when the format is such that, I mean, you probably don't even need a moderator. Like, questions are posed, and it's, unless it gets out of hand. But
well, it almost did. I think with the climate change question.
Oh, and the liar comment from the crowd. You're all liar.
Right. What was interesting was that they went after the crowd went after Ray on the climate change stuff in the way they didn't go after Mooney. There wasn't much light between them in terms of like getting rid of smart meters, getting rid of windmills,
and carbon tax.
Carbon tax.
Everybody hates carbon tax.
But there seemed to be a particularly non-affinity for Ray, perhaps because he's the PC candidate, whereas Thomas Mooney's part of a new party. And
but I think some of that was his delivery, too. It's just he's very cocky, I would say. I don't know another word for it. He's just very like,
The cockiest part, though, and it's the part that like has vexed me for the last week, is when he, when they were asked about reconciliation, and he gets out his phone and he says, "Well, it seems here there's a Ministry of Indigenous Affairs. I don't know what they're doing, so I'll pass this one." Which, like, I'm almost shocked there wasn't a riot.
Was he trying to be sarcastic?
Or that's my question.
Because if he, it failed miserably. If he was, I sort of got that from him, but at the same time, he was just being like, "Well, this has nothing to do with me because it's already a ministry," was the impression I got.
Right. It was like, you know, I'm the old white guy. What do I know? But at the same time, you can't walk into the social justice debate with a slap and a tickle for your answer on like the preeminent social civil rights issue of our time.
And didn't he at one time say he wasn't I think the kiss of death is when on a question is when you say I'm not really prepared. Or, I mean, fumbling is one thing, but like fumbling, dropping it, and then the other team getting an interception and running the entire, it's made a sports analogy there, but you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
You can fumble a bit and that's one thing, but if you're just dropping it completely like he did.
Well, not just dropping it, like dismissing it.
And also being confrontational about it as well.
I just want to say I'm working my butt off to see where John Turmel is running.
He has to be
running. I know he's running somewhere, but I like no word of a lie, his website looks like it was designed in 1994.
Oh, probably was.
And it probably was. But
was when he ran it first. Do you remember he had the floppy disks on his lapels? And it was about the... I think he must be really big on Bitcoin or something. Anyway, we digressed from the local.
We've digressed from the local.
He has run in Guelph. Yeah. I can't exactly remember that election. I do remember remember his standoff.
Yeah.
At the Cooperators Hall.
Oh, yeah.
I think it might have even been the Memorial Hall still. That's how long ago.
It was 08.
Can I say that? Well, it was.
It was.
Smoking was still okay until they
was okay.
Until they got run out of town.
Pretty much.
To Mexico. Well, that's another story.
Ray did not acquit himself well.
No.
But, I mean, he did, you know, to his credit, show up.
Unlike Mike Real, libertarian, who said the paperwork was still getting sorted out? I mean, they had time to type up a place card for him, so somebody knew something.
Well, I mean, it was on the Elections Ontario website, so he's done that paperwork.
But it wasn't that day. It made it sound like I wasn't...
No, I don't know. I mean, this is something we can ask him when he comes on the show.
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, I mean, we'll
see if
he
makes it to the other debates, then, you know, give him that's the benefit of the doubt, right?
Well, the next debate is the chamber debate, though, and no fringes allowed on that.
Oh, no fringes allowed. Yeah, that's right.
So
I wonder if Mike Schreiner is going to make comment at that debate that all should be welcome, because that seemed to come up at this debate as well, particularly by, once again, Paul Taylor saying, "Oh, it's not fair that Mike is." He was almost going to bat for Mike Schreiner.
Yeah, yeah. He was.
It's not fair that he's not at the debate. So,
well, I wonder if he was laying that groundwork, right? Because the chamber doesn't typically have other than the main four candidates. So I wonder if he was... I'm not sure he's no offense to Paul Taylor, but I'm not sure he's that shrewd a politician yet.
No,
but that will be something interesting to ask Mike Schreiner about when he's on Open Sources this Thursday. And
we're brewing up questions as we speak here. for you folks.
That had come to mind already for me, because it would be tricky to say, and I'm sure he'll have a very good answer, but you know it'll be tricky to say like I want to be part of that debate with the leaders as a leader, but you know, to have Juanita, Thomas, Mike, and Paul part of it. And it, you know, I don't think it's the chamber argument is that it's cumbersome that to have more than four.
Well,
but I mean, I thought having seven went fairly smooth.
And a lot of people stuck it out. There were some that left a bit early, but you know, it's a working.
Well, it was
night.
2.5 hours.
Yeah, by 9:30 was
I mean, the way the chamber framed it is like we want to go deeper on policy, but
to people who might actually sit in the chair, they should say that because that's what they mean.
Yeah,
they really want to go in deeper with policy for somebody that might actually have a relationship with the Chamber of Commerce as the MPP. That's what they really mean.
That's what they mean, but that's not what they say.
No. Because they don't want none of the above party being there because there is always a chance. If you're running, there's a chance you will win. However,
there's always a chance.
That's their way of saying no to all. Or no, sorry, no to some.
But it's, you know, it is sad in the regard that it's also the televised debate. I mean, Rogers has been hit and miss on...
Will it be online this time?
Well, that's a good question. I doubt it. Because they were like hit and miss on council. Put it like archiving the council meetings on video.
I thought they were mandated to do this. I mean, if I had known that, we could have gone with some mics and put it on. Very willingly. We have teams of people that do this kind of thing. So
Yeah.
In fact, we are one of them. No, but... So yeah. Moving down the, do you want to move down the table? Should we go down the?
We'll come back to debate format in a bit. But Aggie, I thought was good. She was, I thought she, you know, spoke quite well on behalf of the party platform. It also helps that she's like the young,
the fresh face.
I mean, just to have like someone young on the table is refreshing in and of itself, and you know, regardless of how well she mastered the material, and I think she did have a good mastery of the material.
Oh, absolutely. She seemed to be speaking, I mean, even though she's making policy talking points, she seemed to be speaking from the heart, and you know, doing the a couple of shout outs there to labor who were present.
Yep. Yeah, she acknowledged nurses.
Know your crowd,
nurse,
right?
Appreciation. Yeah, exactly.
Number one. Anything like that.
There was a lot of her and Mike both, you know, gave answers that put the emphasis on efficiencies, which was, again, a little shade to the PCs. I thought that worked rather well. We've talked about Mike and Paul and Ray. So I guess that brings us to Juanita, who is a second-time candidate.
And probably most improved player. But I guess there's only two of them from the last time, right? So
yeah, her and Mike are both repeats. But you know, I give her full credit when she was talking about the communist platform, and she said start talk about the $20 minimum wage, and you definitely heard the snickers. You heard the and she's like, "Well, $15 minimum wage exactly. used to be a pipe dream like 3 years ago.
15 was taken.
Yeah.
And again, if we see a Ford government, it won't be 15, will it?
If it's a Ford government, they'll probably cancel the jump to 15.
Yeah.
I can't see them rolling back to 14.
Because businesses are dying. They're collapsing. There's none left.
Oh, yeah. All the help
Main
wanted signs
empty.
Around town.
Yeah. Well, maybe not around downtown, but in general. Yeah.
All around town. I know, put a note, my day job at Dollarama.
They're hiring there?
Well, there's going to be a job fair at Stone Road Mall on Thursday. Next Thursday.
For a job for exclusively for Dollarama.
Not the store I work at, but I think for all Dollaramas.
Well, Dollarama
in
general.
There's like six Dollaramas in town.
I was going to say there's quite a few now, isn't there?
Yeah. So I mean, clearly the minimum wage increase is doing its thing,
it's
killing jobs all over the place, right? So I mean, that was to Juanita's credit. I think you're right. She definitely
was more ready. This
was
time.
More ready. Yeah. Yeah. And then that's poor old Sly Castaldi was on
Sly,
the end.
Yeah. I'd heard Sly Castaldi before through Guelph Women in Crisis speaking at something somewhere many moons ago. Mm-hmm. But again, not quite ready for primetime, I thought. Is it fair to say that?
I think that's fair. I think...
very good at what she knows. I think that point was made either in Today or the Mercury that... In terms of talking points when it came to the, let's say, the social justice issues that she's relates to directly, to families, children, social services kind of things, nailed it. But then there was the comment, too, about how didn't really expect that kind of format in the debate.
Right.
And I believe Sly at one point also said that she wasn't really prepared for one of the questions. That's just my advice to you candidates. Don't ever say, I don't know, or I'm not prepared, or let me get back to you.
Filibuster.
You have to have something ready, even if it's just you're talking about your whatever.
Talking about,
taking like, model
if you're
hospital.
Talking about, you know, your hotel in Palm Beach, for example.
All the staff are paid less than minimum wage.
But I think she stumbles on a lot of the big sort of economic puzzle pieces like hydro, which, you know, is kind of the issue I think most people are concerned about. And that, like, the question about school funding, she said, you know, something to the effect of, you know, it's not perfect, but it's getting better, or, you know, something like that, which I think is like a very honest answer. But
I can't believe that no one brought up the $33 million payout to the Catholic teachers.
Mm-hmm.
I would have been like, if you're really trying to land one home, it's like that would That would make a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a pylon going on as well. I think there's more people need to be paid out due to that, right? Mm-hmm. Again, separate issue. We digress a little bit, but I'm giving you some talking points, folks. You should take them. No, you don't have to, but I'm just surprised because they're worried about the $6 million man. What about the $33 million for the one of the four school boards that we have? That never came up either.
Right.
The one school board argument.
Well, I think it came up once.
Sort of.
I think Juanita brought it up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but Mike didn't bring it up. No. And that's been like a main Green Party thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like Green Party's been carrying the water on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like Sly, I think if we get Sly out there talking about, you know, the stuff she is passionate about and the stuff she's, you know, that feeds in from her professional experience. Yeah, mm-hmm. She's really, really good. But is that kind of what people are going to be expecting from their MPP? So I would be a bit concerned for her if it weren't for the fact that, you know, Liz Sandals won the last election by like 11,000 votes.
Handedly, yep.
So she was a very good Sly Castoli at like tipping the hat to Liz Sandals.
Mm-hmm. Didn't Mike Schreiner at one point tip the hat to Sly?
I think so, yeah.
Which I thought was pretty classy.
Yeah.
Whether that will continue in the next couple of weeks, I don't know, but I think everybody took the high road on that one. Through the whole thing. There was with a couple of exceptions. And maybe the heckling of the heckling of Ray Ferraro. She's almost anticipating like when is the other shoe going to drop? Somebody's going to start wailing.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens at the chamber debate, which should probably be more Ray's crowd, more Ray's scene.
Yeah.
I think that
is it. Open questions? Are the questions from business?
I think it's Kithio Warza doing.
Kithio's coming up with questions.
I think it's also, I'm not 100% sure, but I also think they're like submitted questions that he parses and.
Yeah, just peels through
chambers,
and says, that's a good
question. Series of questions. I'm just reading it off the. Attendees will be able to submit questions in written format. So, but I mean, if it's anything like this, where they had like a phone book amount of paper to get questions from, it's probably not gonna. We're probably not gonna get too many.
It's like any of them. A lot of them would be the same, and that's. You need to kind of dig for ones that might
dig for the gold,
touch a nerve, or the gold exactly.
What do you think of Tim Mao?
Well, I was saying, I don't know if it was because of the debate structurally, he didn't really need to do too much.
No.
That's what I thought. I mean, I've seen him in that capacity, but was it a debate or he used to host the
mm-hmm.
political stuff at the same time on Rogers?
Yeah, right? I think he also hosted like election night on Rogers.
Yeah, because we were right beside them at the River Run all those years ago when we did this for the first time live remote.
Mm-hmm.
That was when Farbridge was reelected.
That was 2006.
It's that long ago.
When she deposed Corey.
You got your Walmart, now get out.
Well, that was the
message. I believe Ray Ferraro sat down and spoke to us then. I'm almost certain of that. Have to go to Jan Hall. Speaking of Jan Hall got a name check. I think.
Yes, she did.
I think Mike Schreiner meant Jan Sherman.
Maybe.
But
that
was
did
thinking
seem odd.
Jan Hall.
Hey.
We know Jan well enough that she's not an indigenous activist, right? So, well, she could be.
She's an ally.
She's an ally, but she's from Sunderland, so I don't, you know.
Yeah.
It's possible.
I'm not sure how many indigenous
Jan,
folks
send
are
us your
from
DNA
England.
And we'll
send us your DNA.
We'll see if you can be a spokesperson.
Oh, my goodness. You know, what I'll say about
community.
Tim Mao is, like, and it's kind of indicative of a lot of Guelph stuff, which is, like, we have the same old faces and we do things the same old way
when
this stuff. And it's, like, you know, there's no innovation, no creativity at all, no, you know. Like even at the Italian Canadian Club, I couldn't get the Wi-Fi password. I asked, like, seven people,
it's
and I couldn't get the Wi-Fi
ICC1.
Password.
ICC1. I don't know.
I did actually try ICC1. And
maybe
no
they
dice.
Don't want
but I mean,
all y'all on the Wi-Fi.
I understand that, but I think you have to accept that this is the day we live in where people want to get on Wi-Fi and they want to tweet along and they want to live blog. And
well, you're like the local live tweeting champ.
Yeah.
Undisputed.
Yeah, I wanted to live tweet
this. Give this man the Wi-Fi password.
I mean, that's a good thing.
How
about,
dare you?
That's a good thing about the chamber debate happening at City Hall is that it's free to get on.
I walk near City Hall. My phone says, hey, it's City Hall. Do you want to log on?
Yes, I do. Any city facility for that matter.
It's fantastic.
But
that's a great thing.
But yeah, but it's just a terribly old school way to look at things. It's like, we got a Wi-Fi pass. We can't have it. And it's like, it's a public event. And it's a politic thing, so of course people are going to want to chat and share, and you know, it's 2018. Wake the frig up. I could have said another word, but it's...
We're still behaving like we're on
we're still behaving like on the radio.
Oh, believe me, I can swear. You ain't heard nothing.
As we recall from 2011 election night.
Yes, that's my famous election night moment, so maybe we'll see a repeat of that, although if Christopher Curry is listening... I'll probably get a lecture before we even get on the air. But it was after midnight. I don't know. And I wonder how long we will be on the on the mics this time around.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Probably an equal amount of time. If it's like any, like that conservative nomination meeting where there's a problem with one of the computers, it could be a long night. But.
Well, computers could come into play. I think that's a good place to leave it at. Scotty.
Absolutely.
Thank you for doing the Politicast.
Thanks very much for having me.
And just a reminder that the Guelph Chamber of Commerce debate is on Tuesday, May the 22nd from 6 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. at the Council Chambers at City Hall. It is free admission and open to the public. It will also be televised on Rogers TV if you want to check that out. The doors open at 5:30. No safe seats. They made this very clear. It is first come, first serve. So be there or be square. And it is the four main major party candidates. So Eggy Milliners, Ray Ferraro, Sly Castaldi, and Mike Schreiner. And that is it for this week's edition of the Guelph Politicast. The music for the Guelph Politicast comes from KPM Classics, Ed Siddale. The host for the Guelph Politicast is Podbean. Go to guelphpoliticast.podbean.com to listen to past episodes. And while you're there, you can also listen to Open Sources Guelph. If you missed last Thursday's episode on CFRU, you can download it via the Politicast channel on Podbean. You can get in touch with me by email at adamadonaldson@gmail.com. Reach me through Twitter at adamadonaldson. You can go to the Guelph Politico Facebook page at facebook.com/PoliticoGuelph. And, of course, you can donate to Guelph Politico on Patreon at patreon.com/GuelphPolitico. If you like locally sourced independent media in the city of Guelph, please consider donating. For all the latest local political news, check out guelphpolitico.blogspot.ca, where we will have a new episode of the Guelph Politicast for you shortly. And until then, see you next time.